And we're back here, and we're back here with Representative Bob Janetsky. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Duke. It's great to be back on Talk of the Town.
Well, last Monday night, you were busy in Saugatuck giving accolades to a friend of mine.
I'll tell you, what a neat...
Henry Van Singel.
Yeah. We had the opportunity. Henry didn't get reelected this last cycle, but on and off, he's been on the council for 14 years on Saugatuck City Council. We had the wonderful and great opportunity to honor him with a tribute from the state signed by myself, the governor, and Senator Jones. And Henry didn't know it was coming, so he was just asked to show up to the city council meeting.
I see.
And he was a little tickled. It was nice to catch him off guard and to commend him for his many years of service.
Yeah.
And he noted, I didn't realize this, his father, he said, helped charter the city of Granville, so his father had a tribute, but he did note that the one he got was longer than the one his dad had.
Pretty good. We got a call here. Good morning, you're on the line with Bob.
Yes, I have one question or one comment, and I'd like to hang up and he can
on
it. It's about the catastrophic insurance thing that's going on. I'm called in different times for different representatives.
Right.
And, my insurance, I just got my insurance for the 6 months, and that has gone up another like $30 to $50 for each vehicle. I just wondered if anything at all is going to be accomplished this year on that topic, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
It's a great question, and it's very, very important and very timely. My guess is you will see movement on this topic within 2 months.
Okay.
And when I say that, that's because, A, it's an election year, and a lot of people want to get the hard stuff done so that if their name's on the ballot, they can go home and talk about, you know, their accomplishments. And B, the governor seems a little more engaged at this point about doing something about auto no fault. I'll also say that back during December, my office did a telephone town hall. The number one issue that came up, you know, schools came up, roads came up, the surplus came up, things like that. But the number one issue really was auto insurance. People are struggling. And they need help. There's been a bill waiting for a vote on the floor since last March or so. And, you know, there's a big coalition of people against it, and they've been loud, but there are an awful lot of people calling for action. So it may not be that bill that gets a vote or gets attention, but I would expect you'll see some sort of movement within 2 months.
Okay, very good. Now, do you want to talk about the governor's address?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I thought the governor hit a home run, gave a great speech last night, you know. He and I always haven't been on the same page on different things. We've had our go-rounds. He usually wins. But I thought he did a great job for selling a lot of the good things that have been accomplished in Michigan. And if we'll take that call, and then we'll talk about
it. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob. Hello.
Is this Duke?
Yes.
Duke, do you remember your select seconds lady?
Yes.
Dolores?
Yes.
All right. We're sitting here in Nettles Island in Jensen Beach, Florida, listening to you this morning.
Really?
The weather was 44 here this morning, but
44.
It's warming up nice now.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got an iPhone now with our kids, and they got WHCC on for us, so we can listen to you in
great.
The morning now.
Great. Hey, hope you'll listen tomorrow morning, too. No, not tomorrow, Monday morning. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
I got a call yesterday from Florida, too.
You've got a worldwide listening audience, Duke. I'm jealous.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yeah, good morning. I'd like to have discuss with Bob this Dillon. I think he was a treasurer.
Andy Dillon?
Yeah, Dillon. And now he had problems, and he resigned, and now they got a new treasurer, and he's assisting. And I want to know how much he's assisting, because he's getting $174,000 a year, and if he's only there 10% of the time, why are we paying him that big money? I'd like to have him explain or get to the bottom of not having such expenses for our taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a good question. Some people have been inquiring this past week when it was disclosed or learned that the state treasurer, former state treasurer, was still on the payroll in some sort of consulting manner. Apparently, when he did resign, there was some sort of negotiation that indicated he would continue consulting, but not much has been revealed or disclosed about that, and we'll have to ask.
At least not to you.
Yeah, well, not to the legislature so far. So we'll have to ask a few questions about that and find out exactly what the capacity is. Okay. We do know that it was part of the terms of resignation there.
And I guess we don't have anybody. Okay, let's talk about the governor's talk.
Talk about the state of the state. The governor reminded us that just a couple of years ago, when he first took office, that the Budget Stabilization Fund, formerly called the Rainy Day Fund, only had $2.2 million in that. That now has over $500 million. And the benefits of that, Juke, are that if we face another economic crisis, we don't have to make massive, awful, terrible cuts across the board. We can buffer some of that with the Budget Stabilization Fund. It's also good for our credit rating because creditors look at us and say that, you know, we can pay long-term expenses through savings. We don't have to borrow money or increase taxes or things like that. And when your credit rating improves, then the amount of interest and such that you pay on loans goes down as a state. So there's a lot of benefits to that.
Right. Got a call. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Morning. I was fretting about the roads and where were we going to get the money and this and that, and now we realize that there's an excess of almost $1 billion. Why don't we take that money, if it's that important for the infrastructure and for the economy, why don't we take that money and use it for the roads? It's almost like it's a gift from heaven, and let's use it in that capacity.
But good question. Keep in mind that we can't use every penny of that for the roads because some of the surplus is in the school aid fund, so it's going to have to go towards some sort of education money. And then some of the surplus also is what I would say unrealized. And I'd be careful with that $971 million figure. And I'm not trying to discount what you're saying. Keep in mind, last year that's what we did. We took $350 million of the surplus and put it directly toward roads and bridges. And I like how we did that because you're going to see direct results rather than having to go through MDOT and all the planning and all that stuff. We gave it directly to counties that were ready to move into those projects. But the $970 million figure, be a little suspicious of that because part of that is it's spread over 3 years, which is last fiscal year, which closed books on September 30th. When the books closed there, about $100 million was left over or not spent. And then the current fiscal year and the next fiscal year. So it's not like we could take all $970 million, spend it all at once on roads for this year. And part of that is reserved for the school aid fund. But you're right. I think you're going to see some major movement on roads this year, and I think it's going to be good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yes, I have a comment and a question.
Yes.
With that treasurer, apparently, who supposedly resigned and is still getting $170-some thousand a year, something along those lines, this is beginning to sound like the state of Illinois. In many respects, there's all kinds of shenanigans going on down there. But as far as that surplus goes, my question to the rep is, how much is the state of Michigan still in debt? And isn't it the usual case where there's this so-called surplus, and what is going to happen probably in Lansing, like it does in many other places across the country, they're going to spend over and above that because they're going, well, hey, we got all this money we can spend. But yet we are still in debt, as far as I know, like many other places, like our country. And we don't want to wind up here in the state of Michigan like Greece. The country does not want to wind up like Greece. What are we going to do to curtail our actual spending beyond what we actually take in without taxing the people half to doggone death, which is unfortunate, but we've got fewer and fewer taxpayers, actual taxpayers out there today than what we have in the past, and that actual number seems to certainly be declining. We're in trouble here, all over the place. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you
very much.
First of all, there's a lot to think about there, Juke. A very, very intelligent call with a lot to think about. I'll take the easy part first. The state treasurer, I really don't know enough about it. I know that he resigned and that the governor asked him not to resign. The governor wanted to keep him on, and former Treasurer Dillon felt that it was best for him and the administration to move on. and he was kept on in some sort of consulting role. We don't know a whole lot of details about that. My guess is those will unfold over the next couple of weeks as people ask more and more questions. And Democrats have called for an investigation. Keep in mind, Treasurer Dillon was the Speaker of the House at one point as a Democrat, and the governor thought an awful lot about him and bring him on there. I feel bad for his personal tragedies. He's had some personal situations that have been unfortunate, well-documented in the news. But I think we'll find a lot more about the compensation and the situation regarding with that. I don't think it's going to be $174,000 ongoing forever. My guess is that was sort of a transition situation, as a lot of people have done in the past. Relative to long-term debt, the caller's 100% right. There's a budget surplus, but those only go year for year based on how much money you have budgeted or have planned to budget. That's just a surplus above the amount that you were going to spend that fiscal year. That doesn't mean that you can't put it toward debt. Matter of fact, the budget that we put together in 2011, the budget that we crafted that year, we took $255 million and put it toward long-term debt. And it's amazing. I was shocked to find out how much long-term debt you can buy down with $255 million. You know, like when you take your mortgage and you put an extra $100, that takes off the amount you're paying at the end. It significantly can reduce your amount in interest you're paying because you're paying down the principal early. We put $255 million toward debt, and we bought down $5.6 billion in debt long-term that the state would have had to pay. Now, obviously, there are a lot of people angry about that when we paid down debt. If you remember, there were people who wanted that money to go to the schools, wanted it to go to roads and bridges. They wanted it to go to the social welfare safety net and stuff. But the caller's right. The state still has a lot of long-term debt obligations, some bonding on buildings and projects like that, a lot of long-term debt dealing with the universities. There is a tremendous amount of debt when we look at our unfunded liabilities as far as pension obligations and things like that, not just for state employees, but for teachers and things like that. There are a lot of places where the surplus could go that could affect paying off long-term debt. And we could as well put it in the budget stabilization fund and not spend it or not budget for it, as the caller said. And the fact that it is a decent amount of it is considered one-time money, we don't want to build it into long-term budgeting. Right. We don't want people depending on it next year.
What else did the governor comment on?
You know, again, among some really positive comments, he looked at the cities in the state that have the most violent crimes. Keep in mind, he noted a couple of years ago that we had four cities that were among the most violent in the nation, and he considered that a personal embarrassment. Those were Detroit, Flint, Pontiac, and Saginaw. In each of those cities, violent crimes are down. 6% in Flint, 6% in Pontiac, and I believe he said as much as 30% in Flint.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
And the governor did shift quite a few state police officers to those areas, and I think we're seeing a direct benefit of that immediately.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yes. I have three areas I'd like them to address. One, I would like them to tighten up the welfare system so people from out of state cannot come to Michigan and get welfare the next day. I think we should support our own people, but not the rest. I think we should get more money from our casinos, and I think we should work on lowering our prison system expenses. We attack our teachers, and we let the prison system and those pensions and salaries continue. Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess the relative to the prison system, Rep. Havman's been working very hard
on that, and
from day one, as soon as Joe came in the legislature, he's been working very hard on that. And it's difficult. It's very frustrating. Right now, we have a lot fewer people working in the prison system, and yet expenses continue to go up. Most of those are healthcare expenses. You know, keep in mind that I think the figure that really upsets people is they look at the fact that we pay about $33,000 a year to house, clothe, and feed a prisoner, and Indiana pays somewhat less, maybe as little as $28,000 a year. Some of that is where we chose to build prisons back in the 80s when we put them way up in the UP, and now you got to pay people to transport prisoners way up there.
If
a prisoner gets hurt, the transport cost to a hospital and stuff way up there is significant, and so those are things that need to be addressed. The caller also mentioned welfare when you come to the state. A lot of the welfare challenges stem from the federal government. We have actually significantly reduced welfare rolls, and there was just a really great paper that came out from the state on that. I would encourage her to look at that up at the Department of Human Services.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yeah, Bob, you know, when you're talking about these prisoners, well, when you've got a person in jail there, you have to go in and put money in there so they can get, you know, if they want some extra, you know, things.
Yeah. The prisoners have to purchase a lot of their own goods through bank accounts that their loved ones would have to plenish there.
Right, but the price of what they're getting, is ridiculous. I mean, that's price gouging there. You figure if a person wants a bear claw, a buck and a half for a bear claw?
It's kind of like going to the movies, I think.
Where's all that money going?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, because this hasn't come up for a while. It seemed like a few years ago there was a flare-up in the news about where some of that money was going as far as what the prisoners were having to pay for when they purchased individual goods. Let me do this. I will ask when I get back to Lansing next week, and next time I'm on Juke, I will come back with an answer relative to the prices of goods and services.
Okay, because, even the clothing articles that they have to buy, I could go to the store and buy some clothing and give it to them a lot cheaper. They can get it there.
Okay. Let me ask about that. I recall a couple of years ago this came up, and it seemed like it hasn't been asked about in a while, so it's probably good for another request.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. 395-1450, our number here, and we're on with Bob Janetsky this morning. If you'd like to talk to Bob, you can do so directly. And what's coming up in the House now? Anything? Is it?
Yeah, within 3 weeks, the governor's going to introduce his budget.
Yeah.
And that will be interesting. It always is. My guess is we'll start to see bits and pieces of that trickle out in the media. But an awful lot of concerns still surrounding Detroit. It kind of got glossed over, but if people paid attention last night, the governor asked us to deal with the Detroit bankruptcy this year. He wants it done and then moved on with. That's kind of interesting because when you look at a bankruptcy for an entity of that size, it should take about 5 years when you think of all the litigation involved. My guess is that the governor was veiling something there in his message about how he wants that dealt with.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yeah, Bob, there's one other thing I forgot, too.
Yeah.
This amount of money that they have to pay per day that they're there.
When they
get out, they get a bill saying, oh, okay, you owe this much for spending your time in jail.
Okay, that's jail, not prison, though, right? The state covers a prison visit, but for jail, they do get a bill when they get out. You're talking about like a county jail versus a state prison, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that bill comes from the counties. Some counties can choose not to send that, but most they almost all send it.
Okay, and why is the reason for that?
They are legally allowed to charge for that service at a county jail. The state prisons don't charge, but it's still not a pleasant visit.
Right.
But the counties basically, since the state has taken an awful lot of money away from the counties when times were tough, the counties are able to charge for any service that they provide, and the jail, a stay in jail is considered to be a service.
Okay, thank you.
Right, and you can also get a motel room cheaper.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper.
All right, thank you. Good morning, you're on the line with Bob.
Hey, Juke, how are you, sir?
Good.
Hey, I got something for Bob.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's a well-educated man when it comes to everything going on with the criminal side, I guess, with jails. But question I got is you know, you got a person that goes out, has a crime, turns around, gets in jail. He's in jail for 90 days. He turns around and he gets fines and court costs and all that. On top of it, the state or the jail charges the state a certain amount of money for that individual to be inside the jail. When he is released, if he doesn't pay that off, then he gets a bill in the mail. Okay, so he don't turn around and pay that bill. Our taxpayer dollars already are paying for him to be in jail. So why is that? That's a double jeopardy deal. The guy is paying, plus we're paying for him in there, and the cost for an individual, for an inmate. A friend of mine worked for a canteen service that operated the Allegan County Jail, told me that it cost on an average of about 47 cents a day to feed one inmate. I mean, I don't mean to be rude here, but we're already trying to control the crime rate and everything like that. When you got an individual that goes out and does community service and does things like that nature, you go down into your southern states,
mm-hmm.
and you see how they operate down there compared to up here, Ottawa County, now Allegan County, now you're looking at Muskegon having a new jail. I mean, I'm sorry, but them jails don't get built for free.
Right.
And when you go in there and you see, if you go to a court or you read in an Allegan paper and you see all these fines, just for 1 week, you mm-hmm. total it up, it averages over $25,000 to $30,000. Now, come on, I'm sorry. We're talking about big high wages and people making big money on Wall Street. These people over here in these county jails and all this, yeah, they got tough jobs. I'm not going to sit there and say they don't. But come on, Bob. Let's come to reality here on something. Our crime rate is never going to stop, and it's never going to stop in the way it should stop unless we do something for these inmates as far as where they don't got to worry about coming out of jail overlooking a bill that's going to turn around. And it has, Duke. It has, because I've heard from several people that when they went to apply for a job, that turned around and it goes on your credit, okay? And then when they pull up a mm-hmm. background history on you, I mean, I'm sorry, but we better get things a lot more straightened out than what we do, because that little 355 capacity they got over there in Allegan, that ain't gonna do nothing. All it's going to do is pack more people in for the more for the state and more for the county.
Got another call coming in, and yep. I'd like to get that in. Thank you.
If I can, I'll address a little bit of that. There's a bill right now from State Senator Bruce Caswell, a really good man down from Hillsdale County. It's a bill of compassion in my mind. What the bill will say is that in many cases, former prisoners can pay off their jail debts through community service. It would seem like a common sense bill and a good solution to dealing with stuff for people who want to get rid of that debt but either don't have the money or unable to take care of that now. In addition, one bill that's up in the House right now is a bill that would remove, right now on job applications, there's a spot where people have to fill in if they have been convicted of a felony. There's a spot that would remove that from the initial job application, but then the interviewee would disclose it during an interview. But it wouldn't automatically get that application thrown in the garbage. So there are a few bills out there that are aimed at helping that population.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yes, I agree pretty much with that last caller. My feeling has been for a good number of years is that if we, the people here in the state of Michigan, elect people who pass laws, et cetera, if those laws are passed to put people in jails and prisons, whatever, then we, the people, should be willing to bear the cost of putting those people away.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it almost seems to me like it becomes a business. Now, I recall on 60 Minutes many, many, many years ago, I think it was Mike Wallace walking along a beach with a prison union representative, just grinning from ear to ear because they were building all these new prisons in California and locking all these people up. Essentially, it was a money-making operation. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
if we are willing to put those people away, then we should be willing to pay for it. And if not, then maybe we ought to really start looking at why we put people away, what we put them away for,
mm-hmm.
and what we could do better out here on the public streets to take care of some of those people, take care of some of their problems so that they wouldn't wind up in prison.
Right.
Those people are there, just simply because they have other underlying problems, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. We know we've got a huge problem with people who have mental health issues being sent to prison because there's no other place to house them since the closing of the state hospital system. Very good, very astute question. When you consider the fact, Arlen Meekoff always says there's two kinds of criminals, the ones you're mad at and the ones you're scared of. We want to make sure that the ones we're scared of go to prison. The ones we're mad at, we need a better system for having them pay off their debt and move on.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Bob, looks like we're out of time for today.
Time flew.
Hey, I had a lot of questions.
A lot of questions.
Got your work cut out for you now.
I guess I will try and get all the answers and come back next month.
Okay, let's do that.
Thanks very much.